Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 14. Once you were there, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and ask that you would now empower, that you would speak to me and through me to your people. That this would not be a preaching app, but a sharing of what you have done in our lives and the example that you set forth for us in Scripture. Lord, we need you. We need your Spirit. Bring revival to our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So worshipful generosity is the title, but it is not a sermon on giving. It's a sermon on spiritual maturity as Paul gives testimony about the church in Philippi. My main point this morning is this. Worshipful generosity is a step toward to spiritual maturity. Worshipful, there's next slide for that. Worshipful generosity is a step to spiritual maturity. And as I went through this section of text, the sin, or what I like to call the fallen condition. So as you're reading scripture, you can go through and go, okay, what has been affected by the fall, which can then kind of apply over to us as a people because we can relate to the fallen condition or sin that they might be experiencing. And one of the things that I read that I thought was good, because the fallen condition or the sin in this text is subtle, I'll just quote a commentary that I read this week when preparing. It says this: when he stated that other churches did not support him, he used the common word for fellowship, which so characterizes this book. Subtly and without complaining, Paul pointed out that others had received but not given. They had a one-way relationship in the gospel. It goes on to say, First, when they received, they had a responsibility to share. Second, they missed the spiritual blessing that came from giving. The Philippians understood both principles and acted on them. That brought joy to Paul's heart. We see in this, the fallen condition is not the response. It's not that we have received, but we haven't, in response, worshiped and gave of our lives. Not just money. All of it, because that's the whole idea. It's like, and Paul is stating right here, I kind of love how, like, you have to understand the Greek just a little bit to kind of see how he's doing this, which is how the Bible was originally written in. But he writes, he's just like, hey, some of the churches, like, you were the only one. You were the only one that responded in giving when the gospel first came, when I first came to Macedonia and started preaching. You were the only one that when this happened, that you responded in giving. And he's just like, hey, thank you. But when he says that, when he says you were the only one, he's just like, they didn't. And what we see is that it's not, when we think about giving or joyful worship, it's not maturity that comes over time. It's a step towards spiritual maturity. And what's crazy is with the Philippians, it was immediate. Like, in other words, it wasn't just like they grew in worshipful generosity over time. They literally, let me kind of make my case here. Sorry, I'm a little all over the place trying to be quick. But it says in verse 16, even in Thessalonica, you sent help for my needs once and again. And if you know the history behind that, basically he goes to Philippi and preaches and then goes immediately to Thessalonica. And then he ends up, like, all kinds of things go down in Thessalonica. You can read about it in Acts 17. Paul preaches Christ in the local synagogue. They freak out, seek to beat up Paul, end up dragging a guy named Jason to court, where the famous statement is, "These men who have turned the world upside down," you can find that there, comes from. And Paul had to escape by night. And they literally, it was just like a few weeks. So just imagine this. Gospel comes into a city and a church is being established by just a handful of people. And then Paul sets them up with a pastor, kind of plants that church, and then goes to Thessalonica. And like 2 weeks later, they are a few weeks, maybe even a week later, they hear that Paul's getting, you know, they're seeking to take his life and all these things. And their immediate response was they gave. They did it. They took a special offering. They passed the plate. They raised some money, and they sent someone to go give it to Paul and his homies to be able to extend or go with the message. Like, and so what I love about this and the testimony by which we see Paul giving, he's like, hey, it's spiritual maturity, but it's immediate. This church responded immediately, and so can you. We learned that they sent funds to Paul and his team to help them out. What's even crazier is it wasn't because they were rich. We might think that because Lydia was there and these types of things. There might have been a few rich people among them, like Lydia, who was a seller of purple cloth, which we would kind of infer that she was kind of a big deal. But collectively, they were poor. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 4. As he's testifying, when it says Macedonia, he's referring to the church in Philippi. "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their," what's it say there? "Extreme poverty had overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us," man, this is awesome, "begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." Like, usually when we talk about finances, it's like, come on, church. Like, it's okay. You can let those things go. God says don't serve God and money. Like, it's impossible to do so. Like, the fact that your money and your resources speak to where your heart is. Like, all these different things. Like, usually it's like, come on, church. But Philippi was just like, hey, I want to give. Can I give? Please let me give. And it spoke to the overall idea of this, that when we think of joy in context and what we've been learning through the book of Philippians, it really speaks to spiritual maturity. Like, do you want to grow in Christ? Then see the book of Philippians, the epistle of Philippians, as an example. And as we do things like when we grow and rejoice, like, in other words, that therefore response, when we rejoice, when we pray, when we're thankful, alleviating our anxieties and being filled with God's peace. When we find our contentment in Christ and Christ alone. When we think whatever is true, holy, just, of good report. If there's anything excellent, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or consider or think on these things. When we step into these things, guess what it does, church? Causes spiritual maturity, and we begin to grow. Much like this, they gave out of their extreme poverty and beyond their means, which serves for us as an example. The first step to understanding worshipful generosity being a step towards maturity is the biblical understanding of fellowship. So follow along with me, this is important. Is the biblical understanding of fellowship. Note the word taking part. If you go back to 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 4, John, it's like two back. One more. So see, it says at the very bottom here, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. That word taking part is the word fellowship. That word, like, commune, to be a part of something. And so we see as we kind of step into these things, one of the first things to understand or know is, what is fellowship and why is it so important? So the Greek definition of fellowship is this: an association involving close mutual relations and involvement, a close association or fellowship. You see, our journey in the Christian life begins with fellowship with Christ. We share or partner in his life, death, and resurrection. Is it not the beginning of our life when we understand that he died on the cross for my sins and rose again? And do we not represent that new life when we do baptisms and the life is raised down and it's like lowered in the likeness of his death? We participate, we fellowship in this idea of the death of Christ. For you have died. Amen? Like, you have died, and we fellowship. That's the, we share in. He took us with him when he died on the cross. Our sinful nature was crucified with Christ. And then it goes on, like, so when we also have the resurrected life, we join him in the new life. We fellowship, we commune with Christ in the fact that he rose again from the dead. I've received new life, therefore I give my life to Jesus and the things Jesus gave his life for. See, let me read this part. When we understand Jesus' death and resurrection, this gives us new life. And then we receive the Holy Spirit based on our faith in Christ, who teaches us how to live what we have received by grace. Now there is a connection or fellowship between you and I. Why? Because you have the Spirit and I have the Spirit. That's what fellowship is. The Spirit between you and I gives us a connection. You guys with me? You guys look a little tired this morning. Do I need to get a little more extreme? Speak a little louder? No? Nothing? Okay. All right. Well, I'll just keep rolling. Hopefully you'll receive this because it's incredibly important. The Spirit in you and me, which we call the body of Christ or the church. The gathering of Spirit-filled people of God. The logical response to all this incredible grace we have received is worship, yet not simply in words, but in deeds as well. Now what we have is we have Romans 12, which says this, I appeal to you, therefore. So after this long understanding of sinful behaviors and implications of the death and resurrection of Jesus all throughout Romans, he comes out in Romans 12 and says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual or reasonable worship. In other words, what he is saying is based on all this truth and grace that you have received, your call then is to now give your life. Like all of it. A little bit of it. All of it. In response to the grace that you have received, it's just like you have nothing. But God gives you this incredible worth. Like, you guys know you were bought with a price, right? And so when you're feeling worthless, you're telling God he's a liar. Don't do that. Like, when you're feeling self-deprived and just like, I'm so unworthy. It's like, yes, you are, but the grace of God, because he purchased you, which immediately gives you worth and value. And who are you to say otherwise? Like, you have this incredible resurrected life worth. You take that and you give it back. All of it, which includes your resources, which includes your wallet. You see, this sermon isn't about giving, it's about giving up your life. It's not about just getting a check from you for our church. It's about responding to the gospel, which is so vital, absolutely vital. This is Paul's point here as he testifies of the church of Philippi and their generosity. It's a participation or fellowshipping in, being inclusive of sharing, that I have received new life, therefore I give my life to Jesus and the things that Jesus gave his life for, the church. It's a giving and receiving life, as he testifies of in the scriptures when he says that in verse 15, and you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. And it's a response of, again, my main point, worshipful generosity is a step towards spiritual maturity. You see, in verse 15, when it says that, when it talks about no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, that's the understanding of worshipful generosity. One, understands the interconnectivity or fellowship of the Christian life and to be sure of it. And here's what I mean. I feel like I'm even losing myself a little bit, so let's pull it back. If you want spiritual maturity and grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, one of the steps towards that is understanding who you are and what that means. That you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And that connects you to you, to you, to you, to you. You have been saved from your sin and placed into the body of Christ. And so we have this sense of fellowship and connectivity. And what that means is that we now rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn, within a sense of relationship and community because of the Spirit dwelling in all of us. Do you actually believe that? Don't answer. Just think about it. Just meditate on that for a second. Because Paul's testimony about the church in Philippi was just that. He uses words in the very, it starts off, we see this kind of all throughout in, if we look at all the, like in verse 14, that's why I wanted to start there. Yet it was kind of you to share. If you look at your notes, a lot of your Bibles will see or have fellowship in. And he starts the letter much in the same way. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer. I'm reading from Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. So I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for all of you making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And that word partnership, oh, it's up there. Awesome. That word partnership is fellowship. That word partnership is fellowship. And that's crazy to think about because it's like, and then he bookends the letter in the book of Philippians, now going all the way back saying, you shared or partnered with me in my suffering, and then you shared and partnered with me in your giving. And so he bookends this idea, and it's like it's important for us to remember that we have fellowship, that we're a part of one another. And that one another is made up of local expressions of the church that then make up the invisible expression of the body of Christ universally. We're connected to one another, to this church, to whatever church you attend. And so, one, worshipful generosity understands the interconnectivity of fellowship in the Christian life. And worshipful generosity invests their resources in heavenly things. Look at verse 17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. Paul is saying it's not that he wants something from them, but for them. Paul's not saying, hey, I want more money from you. He's saying, I want something for you. And I can say the same thing. Like, we don't need your money. But I want something, like, I don't want something from you. I want something for you. So listen to what he says. See, the terms in this, throughout this text, are financial or accounting terms. It's like Paul is speaking to them as an investment banker. Like, that's the terminology by which the Greek infers. And you see, when we invest in the kingdom, we receive a part of the fruit that takes place in other people's efforts. It's investing in stocks that bear heavenly dividends. Did you guys catch that? And so when we invest as a church up to 15% into missionaries, what ends up happening is all the church plants that we help plant, all the missionaries that are going doing overseas and helping out other pastors, all the aid that we did in multiple different areas of this world, all of that is we are receiving, based on your giving, fruit from their efforts. And now it begs the question, do you believe that? Because then that changes the way you live. If indeed your perspective is for heavenly things, which go back to point one, the interconnectivity in the gospel that you have received. Like, very simply, not to sound too harsh, don't be like the other churches in Paul's day, that they were one-sided gospel people, that they received, but they never gave back. That life falls short of all the fullness that God has for you. Because he has to teach you that lesson and continue to kind of get, like the point of the Christian life is spiritual maturity, to be conformed to the image of the Son. Therefore, that will happen. You can go the easy way or the hard way. The easy way is obedience to the scriptures and taking on a biblical perspective to life. Choose the Philippi way, if you, for lack of a better word. The perspective is right and good. So basically, the church in Philippi is investing in stocks that bear heavenly dividends. What he says here in verse 17, it says, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. What he's saying is that based on his work, because they supported him, they were receiving fruit, heavenly dividends, if you will, based on Paul's efforts. Man, what a great person to invest in. Look at 2 Corinthians 9, up on the screen. As he's speaking to the church in Corinth, and this is one of those churches where he's trying to encourage them to live like those in Philippi. He says this, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctant or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then it goes on to say in chapter 9, verse 11, you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgivings to God. In other words, as you give, you will be given so that you may give more. Isn't that cool? Like, that's the idea. If you give so that you will get, so you can hold on to, don't expect that promise. But if you give, like with a heart of generosity, then all of a sudden you'll find yourself getting blessed so that you can then give more. And then your spiritual growth becomes like exponential rather than linear. As we begin to let go of these things, and it's like, and you pretty soon you're going to be fighting, when can I give more? Like the church in Philippi. That's going to be a miracle for some of us, but I think we can get there. Like, man, I can't wait to give more of my life, of my time, of my resources, of my money, of all of it. I want to give my whole life to the kingdom of God. So, application. This doesn't have to be a slow process. Like the Philippians' immediate response, you can step towards this today, like right now. And yes, we're going to take an offering a little bit, but I don't mean just money. But don't do this. Don't keep it conceptual. Begin to live it out. And whatever that looks like in letting go. And whatever that looks like in letting go. Number two, remember, based on the fellowship we have in Christ, we are called to share all of us, which includes giving, to participate, to commune with. And so that doesn't just mean giving to the church. That also means blessing. You hear somebody that needs something, especially within the local body, then it's our call to go, hey, how can I provide for that person? It's called community. All right. Number three, invest in heavenly things as a response in worship. So one, this doesn't have to be a slow process. Start today. You don't have to like grow into it. You can literally just go, I will make this decision to give up more of my life for Christ today. Number two, remember, based on the fellowship we have in Christ, we are called to share all of us, which includes our wallets. Number three, invest in heavenly things as a response in worship. And number four, as you step, watch your growth in Christ become exponential. It doesn't just become this linear graph that's ever increasing. It becomes like this, like a multiplication of growth in your life. Like, give sacrificially and watch God bless you. And then you're like, oh, okay, oh, this is cool. And then do it again. And then all of a sudden it starts to become exponential, where you grow and all of a sudden you're just like, man, is there other things in my life that I need to let go so I can receive the blessing of God? Oh, yeah, there's this and there's this. And then all of a sudden, here, let me just say it this way as I close. if I have in my years of Christianity as a pastor and as a leader seen two things keep spiritual growth from happening. One is a view of sexuality. If you're a young person, you're not willing to give up pornography or a worldly view of sexuality, willing to step into premarital sex and not take a biblical understanding of that. If you take two guys that are baptized on the same day and one goes, God, this is all yours. I'm going to wait for the right person. I'm going to wait to have sex. I'm not even going to mess around with that. You'll see that person grow exponentially. The other person will stay stunted. You won't see a ton of growth in his life. Can you guess what number two is? It's your wallet. It's giving. You get two people that are baptized on the same day, and one person starts just like generously giving to the local church, to missionaries, to friends that are in need, sacrifices his life and does things so that he doesn't have to, you know, like spend so much on himself and the joy of giving that comes from that. You see an exponential growth in that person versus the person that says, nope, ain't gonna do it. Like when they got baptized, you've heard me say this story before. They get baptized, and baptism expresses immersion, right? All of your life is immersed, but they take their wallet out and go, nope, it's the only thing that doesn't get wet. My main point this morning, worshipful generosity is a step towards spiritual maturity.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.